redeemed. If you have that, let us sing. Sweet is the song I am singing today. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have vanished away. I've been redeemed. I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to I have resigned, I've been redeemed. Precious indeed is my Savior to
me.
I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Happy and glorious. Someday I shall be. I've been redeemed. I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, Christ is mine. All to him I am resigned. I am reading.
I am ready.
But I
I love divine glory. Christ is mine. Christ is mine. Christ is mine. All to him. All to him.
divine.
I now resign. I have been reading. Amen. You needed a lot of help with that one. That's how we couldn't help you. We're good to have you. Let's sing Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Everybody most nervous. It's not in the book. It's unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul? Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Oh, let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Amen. It has been a wonderful weekend for me because I rested well. I hope all those of you who are out there rested well and did whatever you needed to do to be refreshed this morning. The passage that was read into our hearing, it's good to have some kinfolk here. And when I say kinfolk, they're next door neighbors to me. I'm a Georgia boy and they're from Alabama. So I lived in Alabama too. So good to have you all with us. And we just praise God that God has brought us all together this morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. But I just wanted us to look at something since this is Independence Day and since it recognizes the Declaration of Independence, what this call, Declaration of Independence, not for us, of course, because back then when they established that declaration, it recognized that it wasn't for everybody because those of us who would have been have melanin in our skin, we was only 3/5 of the person anyway. But I want us to just look at the passage that was read in light of the declaration, what we call the Declaration of Independence. We in John here, it talks about truth. Jesus said, "Those who know the truth will hear my words." And let's just read that, reread it. It was read amply. Thank you guys for doing whatever you did to make worship what it is and what God intended for it to be. From John chapter 18, verses 37 and following through to verse 38, is just want to read that because we know they was questioning Jesus about his kingdom. They thought it was going to be a kingdom that was going to be established like it was under David and Solomon and Rehoboam and Jeroboam and those guys. But Jesus let them know that it was not, his kingdom was not what they thought it was going to be. It was not physical. It was not finite, as a matter of fact. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he wanted them to understand what he was saying. But here Pilate begins to question them. Pilate say, "Therefore saith he unto him, Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find no fault at all in this matter." I want us to focus on that concept of what is truth, because truth is not so obvious. I talked to you about a group of people who worship now. It's called deconstruction. You remember when I talked about the deconstruction? That meant there is no absolute truth. Everyone that has their own idea of what truth is. In other words, those who believe in the Bible, that's their truth. But if we believe in the Quran or whatever else we believe in, that's our truth. So truth is not absolute in the deconstruction. I can serve my God the way I want to, and you serve him the way you want to. But I want us to look at some things that God have directed us, those of us who believe that God is God, and he wasn't God, but he always is God. And that's why he didn't have a name. They did not give God a name. He had a designation. And they said, Moses asked him, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" God said, "Just tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. I am, I am. I wasn't. I'm not going to be. I'm omnipresent. I'm omniscient and omnipotent. I'm all powerful. I'm all present, and I'm all knowing. So you don't have a name for me, but just call me the designation. If I saved you, I want you to let the world know that I saved you. If I protected you, I want you to let the world know I protected you. If you're sick and you need to be healed, let the world know that I am healed you."
Yes.
And so here he says, what is truth? Is truth relative? These are questions we want to answer in the lesson. Are facts truth? We know that it takes facts to make truth, but facts put together in an improper manner will cause you to tell a lie. You can have facts and you wrongly put them together or put them together in a manner that is improper. Paul said you have to learn how to rightly divide the words of truth. Don't you can take those facts and make those facts say anything we want them to say. You remember I used to tell you the last word in Malachi say curse. The last word in the book of Revelation say amen. So if you put them together the wrong way, curse, amen, and that's a lie. But I want us to kind of look at the can truth be fact? Can truth be facts checked? In other words, can we check to make sure when we're hearing the truth? Is there a way of checking that out? And I'm going to try to look at some ways that God has given us, because if we can remember, he said, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. Even the prophets who spoke of old spoke as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. So they didn't just come up with whatever they wanted to say. And we're going to try to see if we can proof text what we're trying to look at here in just a moment and tell you why it is important for us to recognize that there is a absolute truth. And the way we analyze and the way we make sure that absolute truth is absolute truth is because truth proof texts itself. We use the word of God to proof text what is to be said. The Declaration of Independence that we read about, Thomas Jefferson, he declared his independence. He didn't declare it, but the first few words in the Declaration of Independence says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And so I believe that the founders were discoverers of these Americas. I believe they wanted to have some freedom. They wanted to be able to pursue happiness. And they wanted it, these things that they were writing in this declaration, to be truth. But I differ with their truth, because truth to them, to whomever it was that discovered America, made truth what they wanted it to be. They wanted us to believe things that were not so. They wanted us to believe that they discovered America. They wanted us to believe that all men are created equal. I'm glad they said by our Creator, because that gives me the privilege, opportunity, and the responsibility to see what our Creator taught about being created and about having equal, being equal in the world. We know how the world has become. So I want us to kind of look at what we're going to be talking about through the lens of truth. And the truth is that we're going to look at it in the Word of God and see what God had to say about it. Now, Jesus, who is the Word of God, according to John chapter 1, Jesus said, John said about Jesus, that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And then not only did he say the Word was with God, but he went on to say, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
But we sometimes want to equate other prophets with God himself. Jesus is professing through the mouth of John that he is God. And not only did he say that he is God, but he says that all things that is created was created by him. That is, by the Word of God. So now I want us to draw a little picture here. Now, Jesus is making a proclamation here. We want to analyze this by using the Word of God itself. John wrote Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we have to draw a picture, a photograph, so you can see it. In the beginning, God in his mind had created all that there is. And it said, but it was chaotic. And the spirit was dispatched from the same God that's doing the creating, and it moved up on the face of the waters. And then it says, when the spirit moved up on the face of the waters, then the word was dispatched from heaven. And the word said, let there be, and it was. Now let's see if we can see that. We know that God, according to John chapter 4 and verse 24, we know that God is a spirit. Spirit is translated in the New Testament as pneuma, wind, breath. When it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, it means that it's God breathed. And so when we talk about God, we're talking about him being a wind, a breath. And the breath of God, the breath of God moved upon that creation. And when the breath of God moved upon that creation, it brought order to it. And as it brought order to it, then the word of God spoke it into existence. Let's bring it where we can see it. This building that we're sitting in here, when the contractors got ready to build it, the architect decided what the material was to be to build this building the way it is. So it had a transfer trailer truck bring everything and put it on the lawn out here. But it was chaotic. The windows was laying over here, the doors was over there, the roof was over here, the foundation was over there, and it was chaotic. That's the way we want to look at the world. God had it all laid out on the lawn. And then the Spirit of God stepped in and he said, the foundation is going to be here. The doors are going to be here. The windows are going to be here. And here's how it's going to be. The lights are going to be over here. And then the Word of God, after the Spirit of God brought some order to it, the Word of God stepped in and said, foundation. And it was. Walls. And they were. Windows. And they were. Roof. And it was. So when God is functioning here, he's functioned as three in one, but all three are one. It is the semblance of water, ice, and steam. It's designed to bring order. So now here in Genesis, or rather in John chapter 1, we can see how God is using the word to speak things into existence. And then John 1:14 taught us that now that the same word that spoke things into existence took on flesh and blood and walked among us today. So when you see Jesus, you see Jesus as God walking among us, because that same Holy Spirit that moved up on the face of the deep impregnated Mary and gave birth to the Word of God, which walked the earth for 33 and 3 years. Follow us. What is God trying to teach us? Let's look at the birth of children the same way that we look at the birth of the world. The Holy Spirit, God the Father sent his Holy Spirit to impregnate the ocean, because the ocean had all of life in it. The waters, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was all water. And the way we know that is because we say the Spirit of God moved up on the face of the waters. So everything that God created was in the waters, but it was chaotic. It was murky, muddy, water-like. And then, so therefore, what happened after the Holy Spirit impregnated the waters, then we see now that the Spirit moved over the waters, and you know that's when the breath of God moved over the waters, and the Word of God gave birth to the earth. The Spirit impregnated what God created, Now the word of God is delivering the dust of the earth. That's why everything that's in the world came in through water, because life was in the water. Where did the mud come from? The mud came from the creation. The creation was the murky water that God had all things in. So when the breath of God blew over that murky water, dry land appeared. He didn't say he created dry land. He said dry land appeared. And so when dry land appeared, now the mud that was in the water turned to dirt. The dirt turned to rock. Now we have the dust that man is made from. So now, what is God trying to teach us? Well, you know where I'm going. If God used water to give birth to the earth, and then when Nicodemus come to Jesus and he wanted to see the kingdom of God, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom unless you're born again. Well, why I have to be born again, Jesus? He said, because water is in the plan. It was in the plan from the beginning. Now it's in the plan now. If the whole earth and everything came from water, why is God so interested in water? Well, God, if water is so important to God, why do we avoid the truth and the fact that in order to be pleasing to God, you got to go through the water? Because he's consistent. He created the mud that he made man from. That all came out of the water. Now, if the mud came out of the water and the man came out of the mud, where did the man come from? I don't understand why folk are so adamant that water isn't important. God said that the word delivered the world from the waters that the Holy Spirit moved upon. So now, why is it so difficult, Nicodemus? I'm not talking to you all. You all know all this. I'm talking to Nicodemus. Why is it so difficult, Nicodemus, for you to understand, John chapter 3 and verse 3 and 5, why is it so difficult, Nicodemus, for you to understand that in order to see the kingdom that is not of this world, you're going to have to be born again? Oh. Well, why? How can I go back into my mother's womb? That's why you can't see it, Nicodemus. You're thinking finite. You're thinking tangible. You don't understand the spiritual things that God is trying to teach us. What are you trying to teach us? That you can't see the kingdom until you're born again. He said, well, and he said in verse 5, not only verse 3, he said, you can't see it. He said, but you can't enter unless you're born again. Well, are you lying to Nicodemus, Jesus? I don't even like to use those same words in the same sentence. Why are you telling me that? Well, when Jesus walked, when the word of God came to John the Baptizer, he said, baptize me, John. Wow, you're God. I mean, you should be baptizing me. And not baptizing, that's a made up word. You should be baptizo. You should be burying me under the water. And you come to me and ask me to bury you? What's the matter with you, Jesus? You don't know. He said, if you want to fulfill the righteousness of my Father who is in heaven, baptize me. Yeah. And let me show you how important that was to God. When John finally submitted to immersing Jesus under the water, when he finally submitted to that command, he said, God, the heavens opened up and the word spoke from heaven as a dove lit upon his shoulders so that we could see it. And the word that said, this is my beloved son who have been baptized. I know y'all think the Church of Christ folks always talk about baptism. You can't get to Jesus except through the water. If you're trying to get to Jesus except through the water, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there's going to be some people who are going to be the false teachers who are going to try to say that they are Jesus Christ himself. I'm not Jesus Christ. Oh, but what if some did not believe, Paul? In Romans chapter 3, what if some did not believe that water is so essential to be fulfilling God's righteousness until you can't get to God except through Jesus? That's what he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, wasn't it? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, Jesus, how am I going to come? How am I going to come by you? Well, Galatians chapter 3 teach us that we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. We put on Jesus Christ. Now, if we're baptized into Jesus and we're put on Jesus, we're fireproof. We're hellproof. It's important, brothers and sisters, it's important to know that proof texts, all your texts, teach us that God used H2O to bring the world into existence. Oxygen, 2.7. You can't breathe without oxygen. Oh, but he gives scientists so much wisdom and knowledge of how to separate the oxygen from the hydrogen. When they separated that oxygen from the hydrogen, it showed that God already had given them a bomb, an atomic bomb. God is powerful. And when he say, I no more water but fire next time, all he got to do is take his oxygen back. Be one right here talking about, oh, how God going to do it. He can do it in a way that we can understand it. Now, these are a lot of facts. What I'm giving you, a lot of facts. You have to make sure that it's truth. Now, you check it out, and you make sure that when you go in there and you look at this, and, well, let me see if what that preacher said is true. He said that the word said in John in Genesis 1 and in John chapter 1 in verse 1 through 3, he said the same word that took on flesh in 1:14 is the same word that spoke things into existence. And that same word that came into the world and walked among us came to John the Baptist and said, to fulfill all righteousness, you're going to have to baptize me. Now, am I greater than Jesus? How do I think I'm going to get back to God? If Jesus himself had to submit to what John was doing there and baptizing in the Jordan, if he had to submit to that for God to open up to heaven and say, I'm well pleased, how am I going to have God say I'm well pleased except I go through the water with grace? That's why we keep this water in this every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday. My mother was we lived in Chickamauga, Georgia, and she was a Methodist. Nothing against the Methodists. They believe there's a God. Baptists believe there's a God. Catholic believe there's a God. But you can't get to him unless you go through Jesus. I read a manual one time. It said, at one time, baptism was the only way to God. But now it's different. To keep out the riffraff, we vote on them. Give you the authority to vote on somebody. My mom was a member of the Methodist Church, and we're Methodists too. Y'all know we're Methodists. We have a method of baptizing. We're Baptists. We baptize. We're Catholic. We're universal. That's what it means. You can come from anywhere and be a member of the Lord's Church. But my mom, she's the reason I'm here. You know, not only biologically, but she's the reason I'm here spiritually, because she had to do some praying for me. But anyway, she was a member of the Methodist religion. And somebody came from Chattanooga. I think his name was Capleton, Chattanooga, Tennessee, down to Chickamauga, Georgia. And he did a tent meeting. And my mom's preacher came to the tent meeting. And the preacher, Brother Capleton, I think his name was, preached. And when the preacher got finished preaching, Sonia, that Methodist preacher came forward and said, I've been leading you all wrong. I want to do it right. My mom, her preacher, Everybody got baptized that same day because he said, I've been teaching you wrong. And that's an honest person. It take a lot to be a leader. I mean, I've been a preacher for over 40 years, and now they call me an elder or something. It's hard to teach me some new stuff. You got a proof text. Romans chapter 3 said, but what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. Let God be true, and Herschel Walker and every other preacher be a liar. And if the word don't teach it, I know it say a lot of things, Brother Lawrence. This say a lot of things, but it teach one central theme. It say that the thief on the cross, Jesus said to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. But they were still under the old law. Now they Well, the Lord finished. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Listen, I just thought the Constitution of the United States was talking about what God wanted us to teach each other. We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. We're no aliens. It's inalienable rights. You can't take it. You can't come in and with mask on and scoop me up and send me someplace. I'm in the kingdom of God. I got here, but way Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, well, Jesus, can I go back into my mother's womb, old and big and ugly as I am? I said, no ugly stuff come in this womb. No, I said, he says, see the wind? You see the wind blowing? Nicodemus, no. You see the trees moving? You can't see the Spirit of God. See the trees moving? It blows where it listeth. He said, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. You can't see it, but it's functioning. You can't have the earnest of the Holy Ghost except you get it in the water, grave, baptism. That's what Peter, who was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, taught the Jews, taught the Samaritans, taught the Gentiles, and Acts chapter 10, taught the Gentiles, Acts chapter 8, taught the Samaritans, Acts chapter 2, he taught the Jews. If you want to get where Jesus is, I want you to know, God has made the same Jesus you hung on that tree. He made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Now, send him over. He need to hear this. Sonny, sit up. You got to hear this one. You got to hear this. Okay. Jesus is your Savior, whether you accept him or not. But see, Peter said, not only is he your Savior, but he is also your Lord if you choose him. Now, if you don't choose him, he's not your Lord. He's your Savior anyway. He died Paul said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He didn't wait till us to say, well, I accept you, Jesus. No, while we were still sinners, Paul said, Christ died. So everybody, the alien sinner, those who profess to be atheistic, y'all don't know how a person say they're against something that don't exist anyway. A theist is God. You're against God. Who are you against? But that's. I want us to be assured that we have something to offer that the world don't have. God has made everyone. You know what that means, right? I've been offering invitations through the whole lesson. Everyone that have gone through the watery grave of baptism, God gives the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why he said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What's he saying? You can't have the Holy Ghost until you've
Get rid of the sins. You can't get rid of the sins unless you're washed away by the water. What's in the water, H2O? It's not the water, it's the obedience. Your obedience take you down under the water, and somewhere, when you stop breathing going under the water, that's why you have to go in. You can't sprinkle. You can't pour. You have to stop breathing. When you go under the water, you demonstrate what Jesus demonstrated when he died on the cross. You stop breathing, and the next time you breathe, God gives you his Holy Ghost. That's the way I understand that. It's your Holy Guest, your Holy Ghost, and your Holy Glue. It glues you to the Lord's church, and it helps others to find Jesus through you. Because this do not become a sword to cut away sin and error until you are indwelled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 say, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have a soul. You have you got a history book. Anybody, most of you out here are smarter than I am. You can read better than I can read. But that don't give you the sword God intends. Paul said that when we become members of the Lord's church, we become ministers of reconciliation. We become his ambassadors. We have a responsibility. We have an authority that God has given us. When these guys go in there, come into to these places and take these people, they have their little hoods on and stuff, and they say, by the authority of the President of the United States, I'm taking you into custody. Or the sheriff comes in, and he's just a man like we are. He said, but by the authority of the state of New York, I'm arresting you. Now, one little less thing. I'm done. I used to watch Gunsmoke. And Mr. Dillon and it, they would go out. So sometimes there would be a ruckus in Miss Kitty's tavern. And what's the guy's name behind the counter with the shotgun? What's his name? Anybody remember? But anyway, Kitty had a bodyguard back then. He had a shotgun. Sam, I think his name was Sam. And Sam, there'd be a ruckus there. Me and Brother Lawrence be in there cutting up. And Sam come out with the shotgun and say, stop. We would stop. He said, now you put the guns on the floor. He couldn't take me to jail because he wasn't a deputy. He was making a citizen's arrest. See, some of these denominations are making citizen's arrest. They teach the people about God, but they're just making citizen's arrest until they get to somebody who's been given the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now here come Mr. Dillon in Chester. Sam still have him. Sam still got the gun on him, but he can't take him to jail. You see, that's what these denominations have sometimes. They got the gun on, they're teaching about God. But some Christian who's been baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ comes up to them and they hear the gospel for the first time, and now they can take them before God. Because we are ambassadors. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's what God has done for everyone that accepts Jesus as the Lord. You don't have to accept him as Savior, but you got to accept him as Lord. The good part of it is, I'm still no better than you are. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, I'm no better than you are. I just have a better relationship to God than you do. So if you don't have this relationship with God that you need to have by obeying his word, then you can be just where I am. Oh, boy. You said all liars going to have their place in the lake of fire? Man, I tell you, I was a good liar. I could lie so good, I believe myself. Somewhere down the line, mom's prayers got through.
Yes.
And Jesus said, you don't have to be ashamed of them lies you used to tell. You don't have to be ashamed of them cars you used to steal. You don't have to be ashamed of them people you cheated. Just quit doing it. See, repentance means seeing life as God would see it. You can't just repent. Well, I've been bad. I repent. No, you have to see life the way God would see it. That's what godly sorrow is. You know, I repent, forgive me. No, do you see life the way God sees it? Do you see the sin that you committed the way God sees it? Do you realize you're putting Jesus Christ to Public shame again. You're putting him back on the cross. That's what put him up there. Us sinners. See, so Luke 13:3 said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Whatever your decision is, you've already decided. God knows those that are his. You made a decision before you left home. I'm going there. I'm going to spend a half an hour. I'm going back home and get me some pork chops. It's time to go get your pork chops. Or you can have Jesus. Whichever one suits your palate. But this is your invitation to do whatever you need. If you just need strength, I'm telling you, God said, I am that I am. Whatever you need, that's what he is. The lesson's yours. What's the number of the song, my brother?
Hear me now.
58. Hear me now.
Hear me now.
Okay. Let's be standing. And I know you all went to sleep on me. Forgive me for putting you to sleep. Go ahead, my brother.
Hear me now, O gentle Savior.